Gideon Fantasy Show presents Your Childhood or Belong to Us.
Order, order. Thank you for coming to the 37th Annual International People Who Ruin Childhood Support Group. I'm M. Night Shyamalan. You might know me as the guy who single-handedly destroyed any chance for another Last Airbender movie. I'm joined by Sarah Michelle Gellar and George Clooney.
Hi, bat nipples. That's pretty much all you need to know. I mean, come on, am I right? Right, yeah.
I'm Sarah. I spent nearly $30 million making sure I'm only remembered for Buffy. Hi.
Will the new members please introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jolie Fisher.
Hi, Jolie!
I once received a letter from a 40-year-old fan who said my rendition as Robo Brenda made him cry. And I just wanted to say, I'm so sorry for Inspector Gadget.
There. That's what this group is for. I nearly tanked the film career of a popular comic book character. Imagine how many people I hurt.
That movie was pretty terrible.
See? Let's get you some punch.
Hi, I'm Matthew Broderick.
Hi, Matthew.
I'd like to say I've learned a lesson that I'm sorry, but I was in Godzilla and Inspector Gadget back to back. Let's face it, I'm about as forgivable as people who talk during a movie.
That's nice, dear. And you?
Hi, I'm Rupert Everett.
Hi, Rupert.
I single-handedly out-acted everyone in a movie. Nobody acted as hard as I did. Isn't that right, Brenda?
My name's not Brenda. Would you stop calling me that? It's creepy. And it's 2014. We made Inspector Gadget in, like, 1999. It's over.
Oh, Brenda, dear, you kid me. You should come work for Skolex Industries. Here, let me look longingly into your eyes while making a constipated face.
Little fishy keeps his hands on the boat, or I'll cut them off and eat them. Hippity-dippity.
And who are you?
I'm Adam Sandler.
It says here you wish to join, even though you've never been in a movie adapted from a classic children cartoon.
Well, my mother used to say you ruined someone's childhood, so I figured I'd get ahead of the game.
Yes, but this is an organization for those who have ruined childhoods.
Shut your face!
Is there anyone else?
Well, there's that creepy guy in the back corner who always keeps his back to us and strokes that equally creepy cat.
Yeah, that is creepy. When did he get in here? Did anyone see him walk in?
No, seriously, who let this guy in? I don't have evil guy in a creepy evil person chair on my roster. You, mister.
Did you hear them, Mad Cat?
Meow.
Not even Clooney can stop us now.
Wait a minute, I know you. You're Dr. Claw, my evil nemesis.
No. What is it with you and Everett getting lost in Fantasyland? That Dr. Claw is from the TV show. You're thinking of little Everett. He's your nemesis. Well, not really. Sort of.
And now we're getting our revenge. Right, Gadget?
Yeah, see? Like a 1920s gangster.
Prepare to meet your doom.
To be continued.
It's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it is monsters talk. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate! It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 206.
Torture Cinema, Inspect the Gadget, or Destroying Our Childhood Memories 1 minute at a time.
I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
I'm Julia.
And we should just say this was Justin Landon's idea. And then he bit.
Justin Landon, who mysteriously got, quote, called into work and can't be here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks,
who's going to believe that? He didn't want to stay and talk about Inspector Gadget, so he made up this excuse where he had to have a job.
I know. Like, who has jobs? I mean, come on. That's just silly. Anyway, we're watching Inspector Gadget, or we did watch Inspector
Justin.
Gadget.
Hi, Justin.
We love Justin. Mostly. Yes, but I did make
we
sure
we better love up. Justin, because if we don't, he'll, like, come after us. I hear he's actually Dr. Claw.
He might be. I mean, I would believe it. And I've got... I mean, Well, I will... there are stories. But we'll just keep those secret. Justin knows those stories. I never let them go. Anyway, so we're talking about Inspector Gadget today, because that was... Well, actually, honestly, the story is that Justin apparently can do a really good Dr. Claw impression, and so we decided, well, Inspector Gadget, the movie in 1999, that was terrible. We could totally do that and have him be on the show. And then he was only here for the skit. Who knew? So, on that note, why don't we take a minute to talk about what we're drinking, and I'll start with you, Julia. What are you putting into your liver?
I am drinking some chamomile tea with a little bit of butter shots in it, so it's sort of like sweet tea.
I want that.
It's very tasty.
That sounds delicious. Excellent. What about you, Paul?
I am drinking. I've gone back to my one of my standbys with, as far as beer is concerned, and that's Summit. This is Summit Saga IPA. It's pretty light. It's not very malty. It's got a very hoppy taste to it. It's pretty good. It's got a nice smell to it. It's like very fruity.
Hmm.
I'm gonna have to introduce you to stuff like Summit when you come here for Convergence.
But I don't like beer.
Oh yeah, well, we'll have to figure out something else then.
Okay.
But anyway, that's my drink of choice.
Excellent.
I will say that, like, everybody who says they don't like beer, often there is, like, at least one beer that you secretly actually like and you just don't know it yet.
It's true. I mean, I had to get away from stuff like Bud and Coors to actually enjoy beer.
I like Lambic.
Yeah, see, you like beer.
There you go.
But it's going to taste like a fruit. That's pretty much my rule. If it tastes like a fruit, I'll drink it. I'm so easy to get drunk. Well, on that note, I am actually drinking a concoction that involves Pinnacle whipped orange vodka with the very famous Kells orange soda.
I sense the fruit in this.
Yeah, there's a lot of fruit involved. Well, I should say that there are fruit flavors. There are no actual fruits. No actual fruits were harmed in the production of this drink. Because that would be too normal. But yeah, it's not actually Kell's brand orange soda either. That's just a reference to the 90s and my childhood, which I need so we can make it through this. Yeah. Does no one know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, everyone at home who knows what I'm talking about, get prepared, because we're going to do an impression together right now. Who loves orange soda? Kel loves orange soda. I do. Ooh. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Sean, what was that? I have no idea what's happening here.
Okay. In the 90s, do you remember the show All That that was on Nickelodeon?
No.
I mean, you don't have to have seen it. You knew it existed, no?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm afraid I don't know that one.
I've just lost faith in humanity now. I mean... Okay, so...
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Does that count?
I remember that. Yeah. Are You Afraid of the Dark came a bit before All That. Well, All That was basically like Nickelodeon's, you know, young teen version of SNL. It was a variety show, you know, it had like skit comedy and stuff like that. And two of the people that are on there, one of whom, Keenan, is currently on SNL now. But there are two characters, Keenan and Kel, and they ended up getting their own TV show called Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, okay, I've heard of them.
Okay, and one of the running gags was that Kel loved orange soda, and it was irrational, his love for orange soda. Like, he would down entire 2-liter bottles of orange soda in seconds. He just loved it. And he would do this little bit, like when he'd like hold an orange soda in his hand and he would like kiss it and hug it. And he would say, "Who loves orange soda? Kel loves orange soda. I do. Ooh." And he would do this whole thing. Yeah. It's a reference to my childhood.
All right. And now we and everyone at home who has not seen all that understands this reference.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Go to YouTube. Look up Kenan and Kel. Look up the episodes. It's a great show. It's actually probably not great because it, you know, you look back on your childhood and stuff isn't as good as you thought it was.
So but should I give you great. Some orange soda at Lawn Con? Will that make you happy?
It will make
you
hug me
it
happy.
And will you be like, "Who loves orange soda? Sean loves orange soda. I do. Ooh, ooh."
I'll take pictures.
I will because it'll be an adorable reference that apparently only like one third of the entire country recognizes. If we take us as the representative example of the country. Anyway, so yes, anyway. That's what I'm drinking. And on that note, we should probably just get started by explaining what this movie's about.
Basically, if you ever were a kid and watched the cartoon Inspector Gadget, which was a sort of pastiche show about inspector shows like Get Smart and the Pink Panther and all the other shows where you have an inspector solves crimes but makes it even sillier, then you get this. And it also has an awesome girl protagonist named Penny, who is the inspector's niece, who is actually much smarter than him and solves all the crimes but never gets credit for it. And she also works with the dog Brain, and all of that is super awesome, which is great on Inspector Gadget the cartoon. But you convert it to live action and change the plot drastically and make it star Matthew Broderick, and suddenly it sucks a lot, and you have this movie.
Fun fact, the voice for Inspector Gadget was created with the guy from Get Smart in mind. It was a like a play on his voice. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
It's a very Get Smart sort of show. I mean,
it is, yeah.
With all the gadgetry.
It's Get Smart mixed with Inspector Clouseau.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's sort of that, like, you know, the inspector who sort of, he's not actually terribly good at what he does, and he gets into shenanigans. I mean, yeah, it is. And it's fun. And the cartoon's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a little dated because it's old, but it's still adorable. And I recommend watching it. But this is not that. In fact, this is a story about a guy who will become Inspector Gadget who chases after the evil bad guy who steals a robotic foot and then gets blown up, and they do a weird experiment somehow, which is approved by the mayor, because the mayor, of course, controls human experimentation. And then he becomes Inspector Gadget and fights the bad guy or something. And he gets a car that talks. And
yeah, maybe we should move into likes and dislikes before we flail uselessly on this movie.
When you actually try to explain, when you actually explain what this movie is about, it actually doesn't make any sense.
No, we're getting into likes and dislikes already, Sean.
I'm like really, I'm totally confused right now because I tried to. Okay, well, why don't we start with likes? Because that'll probably be the most amusing by the fact that I suspect most of us hated this movie. So we'll start with you, Julia, since you're on my left. So what is your first like?
So as a person who really enjoyed the cartoon as a kid, I was looking forward to seeing what they did live action with some of the things that Gadget uses. Like he has a helicopter blade that comes out of his head.
Yeah.
And that was actually just like if nothing else, if you just discount everything that comes out of Gadget's mouth and anything about the plot of this movie, watching the helicopter come out of his head was kind of neat. The Gadgetcopter was kind of cool. And I guess the costume that they used for him did look pretty much the same as the Inspector Gadget costume. So I'm going to go with those set pieces.
I'm sorry, but I just want to make sure that the phrasing that you initially used is the one that's most accurate, which is seeing the helicopter come out of his head was cool. Because that's adorable.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
I love it. That's the new version of the, there were lots of grass. The grass union was well represented. This is the new thing, is like seeing helicopters come out of heads is awesome.
Hey, you wanted to know what I liked, and so I am doing my best.
Oh no, I totally agree. That is a cool, like, I was glad that they did that, because for those of us who are familiar with the cartoon, not having that would be like an insult, because it's like a staple. It's like his, probably his only device that vaguely works.
Yep.
So, yeah. What about you, Paul? First like?
Oh, it was difficult to find likes for this movie. Okay, I'm gonna go with a relatively lame one, but I am amused when movies like to break the fourth wall, and this movie liked to break the fourth wall a fair amount. And as piss poor as a lot of the humor was in this movie, I appreciated that it actually tried to break the fourth wall now and again. It clearly the characters clearly knew they were in a movie, especially a questionable character we'll talk about when we get to dislikes. But I like when movies actually break the frame like that, and this movie does that more than once. It was the first time I was like, oh, okay. And then a couple of times we see Gadget actually bounce into the lens of the camera. We see a splatter on the camera lens. I was looking for something to enjoy in this movie, and that was one of the few things that I glommed onto.
Fair enough. Do you think they did that for the kids?
I think they did that for the adults. Oh, interesting. Kids are not sophisticated enough to understand what the fourth wall is, I don't think. At least I wasn't when I was a kid. I think you need to be an adult to really get that sort of humor of playing with the interface between movie reality and our reality.
Yeah, I think I would agree a bit more too, because there is one of the moments when all of the characters look right at the camera, and I think it's Matthew Broderick who says something to the effect of, it's not like we're in a TV show, and then they look at us.
Yeah.
Which clearly is a reference for the adults who actually remember the cartoon. Because let's be honest, in 1999, most of the kids who saw that probably weren't old enough to remember the cartoon. Because the cartoon was the 80s, right? Late 80s? Yeah. It's like 87 or something?
It was sometime in the 80s. I remember watching it as a kid, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably just primarily for the munchkin, or for the adults.
83 to 86.
Oh, wow, so I was totally wrong. I was way off.
It remained in syndication until the 90s. So.
Yeah, like, I think they played the same episodes over and over again.
Right.
Years. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how I saw it then, in syndication, because I was 3 in 1986. A little young.
Oh, God, I feel old again. I saw it first run.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I caught it on the first run, but I was like, that's why I remember being a little kid, because I was 5 in 83.
Oh, God, I feel old again.
Yeah, you should feel so old, Paul. Whatever, you're still alive, and you're on torture cinema.
I am doing science fiction, and I'm still alive.
There you go. That was an apt reference, and a much, much better thing that I could be watching than Inspector Gadget.
Or playing, yes.
I don't really play video games. I watch other people play them.
Oh, so you can
but
watch
I enjoy them doing that sometimes, and Portal is one of them.
Well, anyway,
female protagonist. No, yes, but yes, we're getting off the subject.
Let's save some of the dislikes for later, because there's going to be some big ones. I will just say, and I suspect maybe at least one of you will have this. I was really glad that this movie was only 78 minutes long.
Oh my God, no. You took my like.
Oh, yeah. Because here's the thing.
I have that literally. My notes say the movie was only 78 minutes long. And literally halfway through, Moss and I looked at each other and I was like, how long is this? And we looked it up and we're like, oh, it's only 78 minutes long.
We can make it.
Well, there's at least there's that. Like, they knew they were making such total shit that they were like, we better just make this short.
And this has got to be the shortest thing we've watched for torture cinema. I think it is. 78, because that's an hour and 18 minutes.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It is terrible. And this is a film where I'm like, in a weird way, I thought that they intended it to be so short because they wanted it to have like just a slightly elongated, well, I should say three times the normal length of a TV episode, because it's basically the narrative we have here is we just have a TV episode, except that we have the origin story plus TV episode plus resolution.
So it's sort of like a season of a TV show, but we just cut out all of the extra episodes and just get to the main things. That also is giving them credit that they were smart enough when they designed this, and I'm not 100% sure that Andy Hayward and the others that wrote this were actually thinking about that. So I was just glad it was 78 minutes long, because when I plugged it in and I was like, all right, I got to watch this movie, how long is this going to take? And it was like an hour and 18 minutes. All right, not too long. I can totally put up with this. And I did. And it's not fun. So yeah. Yay!
Yay, I need to find another like then to fill out my likes then.
So, shall we skip to dislikes?
Yeah, so first dislike, right?
Yep, go for it.
Go for it, Julia.
So my first dislike is kind of small, but it really annoyed me all movie through. And that is that they really went overboard with the sound effects. I know that they were trying to get this sort of wacky, kooky, fun sound effect thing, but it was just too much. And so it got to be very, very tiring for me very fast. And when I say tiring, I mean like my brain was exhausted and I was done hearing things and I didn't want to hear anymore. So like, not just like I was tired of it, but like, no, like it was, I was sort of like, I'm on the edge of getting a migraine right now. Can you stop with the gadget sounds and other things that are not necessary? It's like everything that happened, they would have some sort of musical motif or sound effect of sproinging, or at the point when Andy Dick is showing Rupert Everett all the different hands that he might use, which also made no sense. Like, why would you not just make one functional hand instead of a hand that can hold chopsticks and a hand that can wear an opera glove and a hand that's just normal hand? I have no idea. But aside from that, like while he was doing that, every time he would pull something out, they would do a sound effect to go with it. And that would be overlaid on top of the music that was already playing and the dialogue. So there was a point where he pulls out like the head of a mace. And he's like, I don't know if you like the medieval Ren Faire or whatever. And there starts to be this like choral music playing in the background. Well, it's really in the foreground. And I think that's part of my problem. Just for a second. And it's like, there is no chorus there. It's as if the appearance of that object made a chorus start on top of the score that was already playing and the dialogue that was already playing. And I was done with that so early on, and they just kept overloading me with stuff like that all throughout the movie. So yeah. Too many springings.
And am I the only one that hated when like, whatever, the evil version of the Inspector Gadget was like being the dinosaur and making the, like, am I the only one that found that really annoying because his mouth did not match up with the sounds that were supposed to be coming out of them? And it just looked really weird.
No, he was just terrible. He was terrible. And I mean, it was like, partly was those teeth. Were those even real or were they CGI?
I thought that they were just like, they were just teeth things they put over his real teeth.
Do you think so?
They looked real enough, and it was 1999.
They could have been real. But in 1999, they had a lot of CGI. CGI was getting big.
But do you think it was big enough that the studio would be like do you think the guys sat down in the studio and they're like, so we have here's our budget, and the studio would be like,
no, I think they had a pretty big budget for this, and I think it mostly went to CGI because I think most of the stuff was CGI, like the spring when Gadget's neck stretches out and stuff. I think that's all CGI.
But you think that the guy in accounting was like, but we don't need to CG his teeth. Like, that's the one that we don't have to pay for.
I have no idea. And those teeth were super creepy. I don't know if that counts as a like. Maybe that can replace the 78 minutes long like that you stole. Is that like those teeth were super creepy? So if the idea was that I was supposed to be scared of Evil Gadget, it worked.
And they clicked.
Those clicking. That was not okay.
Yeah, they clicked. Oh, his teeth were so creepy.
Like, how did this movie not traumatize every small child who saw it?
I don't know how many actually saw it.
enough that they made a direct-to-video sequel rebooting the whole thing. But anyway, since we're going small bore to low bore, I'll go with my first dislike, which is relatively small bore. Because there's some really larger ones coming, and I don't want to shoot those off too soon. Some of the humor in this movie really dates. I mean, when the car talks about Farfenugan and LoJack, and it's like, I had to think of a second. Oh yeah, okay, I remember those. My God, I remember those.
I'm sorry. I gotta pause. I love the part when he's like, "Oh, that's a German model, Farfenugan, baby."
No, it's like, oh my it's God, terrible. That's terrible.
It's terrible in the way that, like, when a kid tells you a knock knock joke and it's not good, but you giggle because it's sort of cute. That's what I thought about that.
No, I thought, oh my God, this movie is from the 90s. Well, that tells me when this movie was made.
Yeah, one of the other things that happened like that was when there was a Yahoo billboard.
Oh, yes, the Yahoo billboard. And he even goes, Yahoo, when the thing falls down on
you. Like, that was an example of a sound effect that was totally unnecessary. They just, like, did the Yahoo thing, which I don't think I've heard since the 90s, but I'm pretty sure in the 90s they had, like, TV commercials for Yahoo that had that.
Yes,
that little
did.
Yahoo with a little, like, I don't know, country western twang music going on. And they put that in this movie when the billboard falls down, as if, like, somehow the billboard falling down made the Yahoo jingle play.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Didn't Yahoo and Yahoo, didn't they get in a lawsuit?
Yeah, what? No. Yahoo's still
Are
around.
Are you thinking of Yoohoo?
Lawsuit with whom?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm drunk.
I don't know what you're talking about either. I was like, did Yahoo and Yoohoo get into a lawsuit? Because that would be really weird.
That would be really weird, but maybe they did. Yahoo? I think Yahoo got in a lawsuit with somebody because they used a sound.
They used it like a cowboy yodel?
I swear that was it. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I was right. I am great.
Do you want to share with the rest of the class? Okay. Yahoo did sue Yoohoo?
Yeah.
Why?
Yoohoo, internet site, has filed a lawsuit against... this is coming translated from a Thai website. Because apparently Yoohoo is Thai. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yahoo is filing a lawsuit against the company, alleging that Yoohoo site duplicates the Yahoo name. Yahoo wants the Yoohoo site to be removed.
Oh, wow. Yoohoo is a lot older than Yahoo.
I was thinking it's the website.
The website. They say that the Yahoo site duplicates... I'm assuming this is a bad translation. Is what they mean is it duplicates the look of Yahoo.
Oh, good Lord.
That's hilarious.
The iconography of Yoohoo is very different than Yahoo.
And Yoohoo's I agree.
That's so crazy.
That is
anyway. Crazy. Yeah, so there you go. Fun fact. Yeah, you're right. Weird sound effects. So, yeah.
And dated stuff. So what's your first dislike, Sean?
Okay. So most of my dislikes are really big.
Yeah, I know. I want to build up to my big dislikes.
Does everyone have a dislike about Claw?
I think I do. I mean, I have so many dislikes. It kind of depends on what I go with.
Yeah.
Well,
you can burn Claw.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So here's the thing that really annoys me, because maybe there were kids who saw this who are not familiar with Inspector Gadget, but they certainly went with their parents. And their parents saw Inspector Gadget. And the problem I have is that most of the characters in this are not remotely like the characters that were in the original, and I think to their detriment. And I'm not going to talk about all the other ones, because I suspect we're all going to talk about some of the other characters later. But I want to talk about Dr. Claw. In the cartoon, Dr. Claw is never revealed. We only ever see his hand, the claw hand, the metal hand, and him petting the cat. That's all we ever see of Dr. Claw. We only hear his voice, we see his devices, his evil stuff, and whatever. But we don't ever actually see him. Nobody actually knows who he is. And in fact, it was made such a big deal that when the show went off the air, it was done, some company released an action figure that actually revealed Dr. Claw's face. And this was a big deal because nobody had seen Dr. Claw's face. Nobody knew what he looked like. This film does the exact opposite. We know who Dr. Claw is from the start, because we meet him. Inspector Gadget knows who Dr. Claw is, because he meets him. multiple times. He meets him before he's Inspector Gadget. He meets him after he's Inspector Gadget. Everything about this character is beyond absurd and is not at all like the other character. The other character was absurd, but in that sort of, like, actually almost efficient way. You know, and he'd have all these really incredible gadgets and all these kinds of things. This guy is a super creeper. I mean, there's that moment when he just shows up at a ball, like a banquet, and he's dancing with the female lead, Fisher Brenda. Brenda, played by, I think it's Jolie Fisher.
Jolie Fisher.
Yeah, and he just starts dancing with her, and I'm sorry, but that whole scene is super creepy. He's, like, hitting on her and, like, doing creepy Google eyes at her, and he's, like, trying to, like, offer her a job, but everything that comes out of his mouth, like, bleeds uber creep. Like, he even has to explain who he was, but everything about it is terrible. It's terrible. The character makes no sense. It takes away all of the mystery of Claw. Now all Claw's become is just this absurd jerk face guy who owns a big company. He's just a weirdo. He's a goofball. And that's not the Claw. That's not the Claw that I remember.
Yeah, and his origin story is stupid. I mean, he opens up the window so the bowling ball crushes his hand, and that's why he has a claw. It's like, that's lame. That's like, you couldn't come up with something better?
Right. Like, I mean, and then he gets, oh, that's the other thing. The claw is wrong.
Well, yeah, it should be a metal gauntlet.
It should be a gauntlet, right? Like a little pincer thing is not a claw. That's not a claw. Claw is like a hand with, like, pointy fingers, right? And that's not here. He gets this, like, weird animatronic gizmo that barely works and is pretty much useless. I mean, like, the only reason he uses it to any effect is because his minions are idiots.
But they're entertaining idiots.
Yeah. Not to mention, they built it with a button that makes it do a super clamp, which was convenient just so that you could get to the end and have him destroy the helicopter handily gizmo. It's just, I hated that. I hated that so much, because, like, I just, no. No, 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 no. No.
Childhood. Not to mention, the real Dr. Claw sounds like Justin.
Right. This Dr. Claw was just like, oh, I'm evil. Yeah. That may have been, like, my half impression of Matthew Broderick and Rupert Everett together.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's just, it's just, So, moving on. Shall we go back to our likes?
Yep, second like, that'd be Julia.
Go.
So, my second like was that the movie was only 78 minutes long.
Of course.
I mean, seriously, though, because this movie was so horrible, and I couldn't handle sitting through it, and it was just awful. It was really awful.
Gee, yeah.
If we zoom through this too fast, none of us will get drunk.
Oh, I'm already on the way, Paul. So, all right. Well, then we'll skip to you, Paul. Second line.
Okay. I going small bore where you can find it. I like the little transitions between scenes where you see the little models and the little wire framings. I like those little bits of to transition between scenes.
God, you paid way too much attention to this
movie.
I was trying to watch.
the rest of the movie is just so awful. It's like, oh, I get 1.5 seconds of that neat little image before we go back to the horror that was this movie. So I was trying to find entertainment wherever I could find it. And I was finding it in those 1.5 little second transitions. And I was like, every time I was like, oh, yay, there's another one. It's different. They're all different. Which they appreciate. They could have just done the same one over and over again, or some logo. But no, each one is different. I appreciated that.
Fair enough.
I really, really didn't like this movie. Can you tell? I need more beer.
Okay. Well, I'll go to my third or second. What number? We're on two.
Second.
Right?
Yeah, we're only on two.
I've forgotten how to count. Okay, well, I'll get one that's actually a legitimate like for me, which is I really like Sykes, the minion.
You're stealing one of my future ones. Okay.
I'm sorry. For those that don't know, one of the minions, one of Claw's, well, what Rupert Everett's minions, is a guy named Sykes. He's kind of dumb. He's got a funny haircut. But there's a moment in the movie when the girl who plays Penny, I'm sorry, I've forgotten how to say her last name, and I feel really dumb.
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg, there you go.
Trapcan?
Trapcan.
She was in Buffy, whatever. So there's a moment where he's been ordered to dispose of the evidence, and she stumbles in on him and has a heart to heart with him, and he's revealing his whole backstory, his father used to own a hardware store, and he just wants to be accepted and all these things. And then at the end, we get to see this little snippet of him at Minions Anonymous.
You're stealing yet another
I'm sorry. And everything about that was great, because what I really wanted this movie to be about was suddenly Penny and Sykes, the ex-minion, going on adventures and solving crimes. Because that would be such an adorable movie.
It'd be better than this.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be kind of cool, right? She's he's not very bright, but he's got the right heart.
Yeah.
And it would make him happy, and then he'd see his father again, and she'd help him rekindle his relationship with his father, and it'd be great.
I agree.
Yeah, Inspector Gadget 3. But it won't be Inspector Gadget, it'll be Sykes and Penny.
Penny and Sykes, we should give her a first billing.
Ooh, that even sounds better, the ring to it. Penny and Sykes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be a TV show. Paul, we should write this. It'd be a great show. We'll get some young, up-and-coming actress. She'll be Penny, and we'll get, I don't know who we get for Sykes. Who's going to be Sykes?
We need some sort of character actor.
We really do. Julia, any thoughts on who would play Sykes?
I have no idea.
We've confused Julia again, haven't we?
No, I was just imagining the pilot that Sam Becker is going to write for this.
Honestly, that would be a great pilot.
Where, apparently, I think they probably live in the same town that Starscream and Megatron's pizza place is in. And
that's where they go after they've solved the case. They go get some Megatron pizza.
There we go.
And I think that their home base is the hardware store that Sykes has opened.
Right. Which has a secret room in the back.
Exactly. Full of gadgetry.
Yeah, and Sykes is he's not very good at building gadgets, but he always has a new gadget for her. That's his quirk. Every episode, he has a new gadget that he thinks is going to help her, and it doesn't really, except it does. It does help her in ways that aren't expected, right? He's the reverse Inspector Gadget. He's not actually, this is brilliant. We're going to win an Emmy.
So you're basically making up a better show than this movie because you're that desperate to not think about this movie.
Yeah.
Also, because I actually like Sykes. I think he's a cute character. I also just, I like that kind of meta making fun of minions thing. I just like that. That's just cute. But yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. But Hollywood, call me.
Hollywood, call us.
We'll make it.
Well, Hollywood is just creatively bankrupt. They're going to reboot Stargate.
Into a trilogy.
Yeah. Hollywood is creatively bankrupt. And speaking of creatively bankrupt, perhaps we should go to our...
Second dislike.
Second dislike. Oh, God, it is only second
dislike. Are we seriously only on the second one?
Because we just invented a TV show for which we get an Emmy. Duh.
Yeah, we are only on our second dislike. Go, Julia.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get into one of the big ones so you guys can join in on this one. But, basically, in the cartoon, Penny is the main character. And Justin was talking about this before he had to run off to his job, whatever that is.
Job.
His job that makes it so he can't actually be on this podcast.
Should be noted that she's doing that with little air quotes around.
Yes, I'm totally doing that with little air quotes. You can hear it in my voice. So, yeah, he was saying that we really need to make sure that everybody knew that he felt the same way about this, that Penny in the cartoon really is the protagonist. She's the one who spends the most time trying to figure out what to do to stop her uncle, who is just kind of a bumbling idiot, from messing things up. And so, like, he goes off and tries to save the day, and then she actually saves the day, and then he gets the credit, and that's kind of how it works every single episode. And she's really smart, and she's really cool, and she's a little girl who's awesome. And in this movie, she doesn't really get to do much at all. And she basically is just a little girl who wants her uncle to come to her class to talk about being a security guard for class day, and then, like, wants him to get together with Brenda. And there's, like, one point where she gets to do stuff, which is one of my likes, so I'm not going to talk about it. But really, by and large, she's not in the movie very often, and there isn't much that she gets to do when she is, and her role is just kind of, like, passive most of the time, which is very sad.
Yes, this is also one of my dislikes.
Yep.
I'll cover it from a slightly different angle, Julia, which is that the fact that this character's neutered here, I mean, you already mentioned it, really, is the fact that in the cartoon, she's, like, she's really the protagonist. Here, she's just the niece. I mean, there's one moment she gets to do something slightly sort of cool, but she doesn't really. I mean, she sort of talks Sykes down, but
shush right now, because I said I was going to use that as a like, so you got to not talk about it right now.
Okay. Well, I would just say that the resolution is mostly meaningless, because like, Inspector Gadget basically saved someone from a helicopter exploding. So, I don't know. It just seems... It really frustrated me, because there aren't really many good female characters anyway. And then Penny, who is, like... She could be a really cool role model for young girls, who is, like, this determined, smart young woman who is, like... She's a kid who's trying to solve crime and help people.
She's not trying to solve crime. She is solving crime.
Well, you get what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's an awesome protagonist. I loved her as a kid, and I think that I still think she's awesome. And the fact that she doesn't get to do anything was really frustrating and disappointing. And the fact that, like, when this movie started, Moss and I looked at each other and were like, well, at least it seems like they made Inspector Gadget dumb, which is what he's supposed to be. And then it becomes the case that, no, this is a movie about how Inspector Gadget gets to learn how to be cool and save the day, instead of, like, kind of being dumb the whole time and not getting to really save the day, except that he gets the credit for it, even though we all know Penny did it. Which is, like, how every episode of the cartoon plays out. In every episode of the cartoon, like, people who he is supposed to save actively, like, run away from him at the end and are like, don't touch me anymore, because he's managed to traumatize them in his trying to save them. But, like, no, in this one it's like, yeah, I will save everybody, and then, like, Brenda will kiss me, the end.
Yeah, let's not talk about that last part too much, because that's
another dislike. I'm not going to get into it.
But I will just chime in as Penny's depiction in this movie, as my second dislike. I was extremely disappointed. Actually, I remember from the cartoon, in the first, there were several seasons of the cartoon. In the first season, she's entirely the protagonist. She's the one stopping Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget. And Inspector Gadget just bumbles his way to victory again and again and again. Mm. I mean, it's her and Brain who are doing
it. Yeah, that's another, so I'm just not going to talk about Brain yet.
Yeah, okay. But Penny gets completely deprotagonized here. At one point, Inspector Gadget just sends her home. It's like, this is not the Penny from the cartoon. Actually, in the later seasons of the cartoon, she actually gets deprotagonized, but you don't see those episodes as much in syndication. You only generally see the first season, which is good in some ways because, well, they have a scrappy do in the later episodes of the cartoon. So,
oh my god, really?
A Scrappy-Doo kind of character,
A mini Brain?
No, Basically a mini Inspector Gadget.
Oh, that's amazing.
A helper for Inspector Gadget who really doesn't
look like the legwork. Why would they do that? They had such a good formula.
I know. That's just why you generally only see the first season in syndication and not the other two seasons. But I remember the other two seasons having seen them first run. But yeah, don't watch Inspector Gadget past the first season is my advice.
That's terrible.
I've gone off the cartoon and back off the movie on the cartoon. But yeah, second dislike, Penny. Why did they screw up the character?
Well, so maybe, like what you said in the thing about her being sent home by Inspector Gadget, like if that had happened in the cartoon, he would have been like, "Oh, Penny, you go home. This isn't safe for you." And she would have been like, "Okay, Uncle." And then she would have like made a plan to actually save the day and stop him from killing himself and the entire world.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And
And here she doesn't stay home, but it's nowhere near like the cartoon.
Yeah, it really isn't. Can I just say that at least there's one good thing that's come out of this?
What's that?
It's that Paul has invented a word called deprotagonizing.
I did not invent this word. This is actually a term from role-playing games. It's a term that was once applied to me years ago, saying I deprotagonized their character. I.e. being a bad GM. That's another podcast entirely.
So it's like deep confessions time.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sins of a role player.
I've gotten better as a GM since then, honest.
Fair enough. Well, why don't we jump to third likes then?
Julia.
Okay, my third like, this is going to be so superficial, but I totally did like it, and I have to say it's one of the reasons why watching this was even slightly bearable, and that is because Jolie Fisher is gorgeous, and when I was a teenager, she was on Ellen, and I had such a bad crush on her.
I'm not surprised.
Such a crush. And, like, of course, this is the sort of thing that, like, at the time I was deeply closeted, so I was totally, like, hiding it. And I think it's hilarious that, like, one of the shows that I had no problems telling all my friends and family that I like to watch was Ellen, but I was still in the closet. But the reason why I wouldn't want them to know is because I had a crush on Jolie Fisher. Like, I didn't mind that they knew I liked Ellen because I didn't have a crush on Ellen. But Jolie Fisher is still gorgeous, and so yeah, I did not mind getting to look at her for an hour and a half. Although the Brenda bot was terrifying.
Oh God! Oh, that dislike. Watch out! Don't talk about that. That's a major dislike. Don't talk to me about that. Don't talk about that.
Oh.
I'll make it simple for my third like. Yes, the Jolie Fisher, the Brenda, Dr. Brenda character. Yes, oh God, she was gorgeous. Heroes want redheads. This is a TV trope for a reason.
And she's an accomplished doctor.
Yes, she's she's a scientist. She's effective at what she does. I mean, Dr. Claw is creepy towards her, and she winds up getting damseled in the third act.
I don't think she's a terribly good scientist. Like, I know she made up the gadget program and everything, but like, she doesn't even ask for consent. Like, he's
I blame that on the mayor. The mayor's
like, when can you have the thing done? And she's like, I've decided to use this guy who cannot give consent, and I'm also not going to tell his niece what I'm doing to him. And then like, yeah, I don't know. Mayor's like, how do you know it's the right man? And she's like, because my dad told me that when the right man came along, I would know. And I know now. And I'm like, wait, what? This is just, I can't, none of the women in this movie are actually good characters.
No. Yeah, the mayor's ridiculous.
But she did cram a lot of gadgets into Inspector Gadget's body.
I know.
That's most all I'm saying. I mean, that takes some. She has technical expertise. She might be unethical in surgically altering, altering him, but without consent. And
yeah, but she is actually a scientist and competent for the world scientist.
Go gadget measuring tape. And did anyone notice that he had a measuring tape thing in there?
He had everything in there.
He has everything,
including toothpaste that was labeled oil.
Well, that was a glitch.
I also just don't understand. Like, who would put a big thing of toothpaste?
I was just wondering how that much toothpaste fit into his body.
He has a TARDIS, obviously. His body's obviously a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside. It's got.
I like how Paul is rationalizing this, like, as if you want to defend Inspector Gadget.
That's ridiculous. Stop it, Paul. Stop it.
Why don't you tell us your third like, then, Sean?
My third like. The dog was really cute.
He's
a beagle, right?
Yeah, he was a beagle.
Oh, I want one.
Yeah, but he's not the brain from the cartoon.
I know.
No, to be fair, the brain from the cartoon is not actually resembling a real dog.
Right.
No, he's a Scooby.
But can I can still have this. Don't take it away from me. Beagles are so cute, and he's so cute, and I just want to hold him and kiss him. Put a little ears. Oh.
As someone who habitually watches cute dog movies just so I can talk about them on this Cafe and Fanti blog, I can't blame anyone for liking a cute dog in a movie.
He was cute, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, remember the moment when he's like bouncing in the car and he's like dancing and little dog head's dancing, his little ears are flopping. Oh, it was so cute. Just put him on a card. Let's just have little cards with his little face on it. So that's my third like.
Right, so we're ready for a third dislike, then.
Yep, third dislike. Oh.
Go, Julia.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about brain now. Since this is a good segue. So the other thing that happens in the cartoon is that, like, Penny doesn't work alone. Actually, she and Brain are in league with each other. And Brain in the cartoon is awesome. Like, he does all sorts of things. He wears disguises. He does all of these things on his own. And he gets into all sorts of things without ever talking at all. You know, like, he's a dog and he's silent. But he has so much expression. And sort of the same way that I love Wallace and Gromit, because Gromit has so much expression for being a tiny clay dog who doesn't talk. Brain is similarly awesome in that way. And he gets to do all these things, and he gets to help Penny, and together they, like, foil all of Gadget's bad attempts to solve crimes and actually get to the bottom of the mysteries. And usually, like, Penny gives the orders, and then Brain works out how to do his part of it, and then they meet up, and they're really a good, effective team. In this movie, Brain is a cute beagle. I will give you that. That is all Brain is, and he just doesn't do anything.
She's got a point, Sean. As an aside, I don't think it's true, but when I first saw the cartoon years ago, I had this weird idea that Inspector Gadget was built by Penny and Brain.
Yeah, no, I can totally see how you would think that. And I kind of think that I might have had that idea too as a kid. Like,
where's Penny's parents and what happened to them? Clearly their technical expertise. Clearly they built Inspector Gadget, but Inspector Gadget doesn't know that.
Yeah, that seems entirely likely. I noticed that, like, in this movie, they decided that they had to give both Claw and Gadget origin stories for some reason, but, like, we don't know why Penny lives with Gadget.
No, we don't.
No, her story's not considered important. And that's ridiculous.
Well, that goes back to the dislike of Penny as a character in this film.
Yeah, her structuring is just...
Yeah.
I mean, why does she live with him? Why isn't she with her actual parents?
Or are they dead?
Her parents are dead or something, but, like, they just never tell us. It doesn't matter.
They don't even mention it. There's no dialogue to that effect. Yeah. They never
mention it in the cartoon either, but, like, in the cartoon they also never mention where anyone else comes from, so it's okay.
Right, right. Well, can I tag on my third dislike to yours, Julia?
Yeah, go for it.
So, although the dog is adorable, I really, 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 really hated the end credits scene with the dog when he talks. And there's a specific reason why. The reason isn't because he's a talking dog, because whatever, like, okay, sure. Like, I don't recall him ever talking in the cartoons. Like, he makes woofy noises. But okay, so you're going to have a talking dog at the end. All right, it's cute. My problem is if you notice the voice is the Inspector Gadget voice.
It's Don Adams, yes.
Yeah. On the dog.
I think that was supposed to be a nod to Don Adams in the original cartoon. I took it on those grounds.
I found it so backhanded. It just, I
mean, it was a way to get him into the film.
That's, well, then just was. Have him be an older Gadget. Because the guy's not dead.
No, the guy's not dead, but I guess that would take more work or more thought. So we stick it as this thing in the credit cookie.
Well, it wouldn't even be like that much thought. You just take all of Matthew Broderick's stuff and you just stick him in it instead. Like, it's not like this movie only works if Matthew Broderick's in it. Right? I mean, granted, it's a movie that doesn't work, but it's just, I found that so backhanded. And I as soon as that happened, I was like, you just reminded me that this was a favorite thing that I watched as a kid. Like, I was ready to give in and just be like, this is over now, I can move on with my life. But no, that it was like salt in a wound, or like lemon juice in a wound. You know? Like, they were just holding me down, and like, they just like were squeezing it in and then rubbing it. Like, and they get like real big salt crystals and like rub it in the wound. That's what it felt like. It was just angry. And it's like, after all that, you give me this. Like, you know, at least make the dog do something cool, like he does a flip or something. Or like he like captures a robber. That would be cool, right?
That would be cool.
Yeah, but that's not what we got. So
That's not what we got.
What about you, Paul?
On the plus side, that wasn't actually his last role, so that's good.
That's good.
It's unlike Raul Julia, who I think last role was M. Bison, which is very sad.
Yes, I know.
That just blows my mind.
And his role is actually, here's the thing about Street Fighter. It's on our list, by the way, folks.
Oh, God.
His role as Bison is the only good role in that whole movie. Because he gets really bad dialogue, but he owns it in this miraculous way. Like, it's, I wouldn't say it is an Oscar-worthy performance, but I would say that he carries the film as far as it can go. And it's a reminder that even the best of us cannot save garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll eventually, oh faithful listeners, see and review this movie. I've seen it. There's one good line he has, one little good exchange. But we'll talk about that when we actually get to Street Fighter. I'll talk about my third dislike instead this time. And this movie is a Disney movie. It's got cartoonish sounds and feel for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Then it has the really weird atonal, we're not going to talk about it afterwards, killing of Brenda's dad. Did you notice that?
So they kill her dad, and then they do talk about it throughout the rest of the movie. They like reference it as the whatever her last name is, murder, the Artemis, whatever, Bradford murder.
Yeah, but it's just so atonally.
Yeah, no, they never talk about it as like him actually dying and it being a problem. Like, she surprisingly immediately is just like, oh, I actually want to save Matthew Broderick because he tried to save my father. And like, it's as though this means a lot to her, but her father doesn't actually matter anymore.
Yeah, so it's like she's not trying to solve her father's murder. She's not acting on her own. Yeah, it just seems so. I mean, Matthew Broderick seems more interested in solving this murder than anybody else in this film, and he never even met the character. It just seemed odd to have a death like that. And I mean, this movie is so jokey. I mean, Matthew Broderick gets injured and that's plays for laughs, which is a little odd, but he should have died from that explosion. But this character just gets killed off. It just seems very atonal with the rest of the movie.
I got the impression that the film was trying to suggest that some time had passed. Because they...
Yeah, which raises another question for me, which is what the hell happened to Penny during that time?
Yeah. What was she up to?
They're like, you had a long recovery. And I'm like, how long was it? Because apparently it was long enough for her to make him be full of gadgets and for him to recover from that extensive surgery and cyborgization, but not so long that Dr. Claw had any time to study the foot that he stole.
Yeah.
Or that Penny, like, no one seemed to care what happened to Penny.
Yeah, nobody talks about it. It's all this time goes by, like, there's almost no indication that she's even really concerned about him. Like, she is in the hospital when he's dying, and, like, I'm sorry, but she's a child. And she's probably, like, we can guess that she's lost her whole family, and what, she's just, like, totally calm?
And she's just like, okay, brain, here, you can lick my uncle's face through the cast.
Yeah, like, I just, it's totally bizarre.
And her thing is, like, when she walks in, she's just sort of like, oh, uncle, you got yourself all covered up in bandages, like, and not, like, in a you might be dying way, but in a you're so clumsy. Isn't that just like you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally silly. I just don't understand it. There's, like, it is emotionally a very confused film. Because I think it wants to be a comedy, but then it treats what are very serious things, as Paul was talking about, right? It doesn't even want to address them. Because, I mean, how do you make fun of her dad dying? I don't know if you could really make fun of that.
Yeah. It's emotional whiplash, and it just does not work.
Well, like, and if this had been the actual cartoon, probably what would have happened was Dr. Claw would have kidnapped him, and Gadget would have to try to rescue him, which would probably traumatize him, but Penny and Brain would actually rescue him, and it would all be okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it will be fine at the end.
Right. Yep. But that's not the story we got. We got, well, we'll talk about some other things about Matthew Broderick's rendition later.
Because we're up to fourth like. Go for it, Julia.
Okay, my fourth like was that I was excited to see that Michelle Trachtenberg was in this. I have enjoyed Buffy, and I have enjoyed her in other things. And I was like, oh, she's a cute, like, kid and a good actress, because she was, like, a little kid at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be nice. And, like, honestly, she does the best with what she has to work with, which is pretty much nothing. So, you know, she was a cute kid. That was cool. And then this is the part where I get to talk about the one cool thing that Penny does. There is the point, and the whole reason this works is because Michelle Trachtenberg is a good actress, and she does a good job with it. She goes by herself up to Dr. Claw's offices to try to retrieve the foot, which doesn't make any sense as a thing to have stolen or a thing. Like, I'll just get into that in another time. But I won't talk about that. I will just talk about what I liked here. So she goes up there by herself, and there's like the one point where we have like a little hearkening back to the cartoon where she's like, okay, Brain, you go this way, I'll go that way, and Brain goes the other way, but we have no idea what Brain does because we don't get to see Brain do anything. But Michelle Trachtenberg gets up there, and she's like, catches Sykes trying to flush the foot down a toilet. Just very confusing. And she's like, why is there a foot in the toilet? And she has like overheard him complaining about how he shouldn't have gotten into this minion business, and he should have listened to his father, who said that he would be good at hardware sales and stuff. And he like sees her and like is gonna hurt her, so she like puts her hands up to surrender and then talks him down out of this like very tense situation where he is a loose cannon and he could totally have hurt her, but he doesn't because she talks to him and she's really smart about it. And she uses the information that she's gained before. She's like, you know, I really see you as the kind of guy who would sell people vinyl siding. And he's like, I wanted to open a hardware store. And he totally breaks down and they have this bonding moment. And then she brings out his heart of gold, and it's her doing that Sykes turns good in the end. Like, it's all her.
It is all her.
It's all her. So that was the one cool thing that Penny got to do. She didn't get to save the day. She didn't get to do all the things that she would have gotten to do in the cartoon. We got to see very little of her. But when she did actually have something to do, she was good at doing it. And she did save one person. And herself.
Oh, I love Sykes. Vinyl siding. And that's the thing. I'm sorry, I got to go back to Sykes for a second, Julie. Can I do that?
Yeah. I'm done. You can talk about whatever you want.
I'm sorry, because I love that scene, and I'm glad you brought it up, because that's the only scene I liked in the whole movie, to be totally honest. That like 3-minute scene, of them. That's it. And not the cuts that like to other parts. If you cut all that out and you just put all the pieces of this scene together and said Inspector Gadget movie, and that was that 3 minutes, I think it would be a great movie. But that's not the movie we got. But I love that, like, he's being reminded that he's an idiot by everybody else, right? And let's be fair, he's probably not the brightest tool in the shed, right? An apt metaphor. But the fact that, like, she's, like, mentioning things that most people probably don't. Like, I don't know what the hell vinyl siding is. Like, it's vinyl and, like, goes on the side of a house? I don't know, whatever, right? And he's just, like, he immediately makes a connection to the hardware. And I love that, like, it's just dispelling the myths. He's not as dumb as everyone thinks he is. He's adorable. And they're... I'm going to go back to the story Paul and I are going to do together for our Emmy.
For our... It's waiting for us to write. But... Yeah. We're on the fourth, right? Yeah. We're on fourth likes, right?
Fourth. Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're like flashing through this. We're doing really good, guys.
Yeah. I'm also running out of beer. My fourth, like I mentioned before, that I want to mention, and it's the Minions, Sykes and Kramer, especially Sykes, because of all what Julia just said before, that whole scene with Sykes and Penny is just gold. I mean, I didn't like Dr. Claw at all. Rupert Everett is a ham the size of Cleveland, but I liked his Minions. I mean, Sykes and Kramer are. Typical bad guy Minions, but they have a good chemistry with each other and with Dr. Claw. I mean, I think Kramer's the slightly more intelligent of the two, but Sykes gets more of the comedy. I did have one criticism, and I know this isn't a lie, because, like, we never find out whatever happens to Kramer. We know what happens to Dr. Claw. We know what happens to Sykes. Kramer just kind of disappears. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It's a little bit. Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I mean, Claw gets captured, Sykes gets reformed in the credit cookie, but Kramer kind of just, like, falls off the map. He doesn't get captured, he doesn't get killed. He's the more gadget-oriented of the two, but we never see whatever action. He never gets nothing. He just kind of gets left on the cutting room floor.
He pursues his dream of being a professional cricket player.
Well, we'll have to put that in the Emmy story.
I
do have to note at this point that the other thing that Justin had noted was that he thought that Andy Dick was one of the best actors in the whole movie. Andy Dick and Sherry O'Terry as the mayor.
Yeah, so, Andy Dick being Kramer, yeah.
So shout out to Justin for, like, you talking about one of his likes as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I don't think...
Because the best scene Kramer has was the I mean, yes, it's hammy, but showing off all those weird hands to Dr. Claw as instead of the claw, the opera hand. Like, what the heck would you do with an opera hand? But he sells it. Like, I guess Kramer's the kind of minion that would design an opera hand for Dr. Claw. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? What kind of other hands would he create?
Well, he had the spiked hand, he had the claw, he had the opera hand.
Do you think he'd make, like, a peace sign hand?
Yeah, he had the sushi hand. Are you, for Dr. Claw? No. Kramer's smart enough to know that Dr. Claw would not go for peace. He might go for, like, a Richard Nixon V for Victory hand.
Ooh, there you
go.
That
would have been cool. We're even better stuff than the movie actually had. Not a high bar, but mind you, but there you go.
Okay, I don't think I've done a fourth like.
You have not.
I have not done a fourth like. Okay, well... I just totally had a brain fart. Oh my gosh, what was my fourth like? I don't know if I liked four things about this movie.
I've come up with some really thin stuff, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Fourth like is... although it's still terrible, so this is a backhanded compliment, which is very common for me. I actually liked Matthew Broderick as evil Inspector Gadget.
Oh, you just stole my number five. Damn you.
And I like it mostly because of one line in the whole thing where he's, like, after the real Inspector Gadget pulls his head off, and he's like, I thought we could be friends. I thought we could be partners. And I just love that line. And I don't know why, because after that, of course, he does the teeth clacking thing, which just reminds me that he's evil. But he, like, this is, like, Matthew Broderick doesn't actually act when he's doing anything else. But when he's this character, it's clear that he's not acting well, but he is at least trying to earn his paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's fun, because at least it's absurd. Yeah.
He's actually showing some energy. Oh, yeah. This actually can tie into my fourth dislike, so no bad. No problems.
Sweet. Fair enough. All right. Shall we move on to the fourth one, then?
Fourth dislike, Julia.
All right, and this is another shout-out to Justin as well. So, earlier I mentioned Penny, and I was talking about women and stuff, and I know that Paul is going to get into the Brenda problem, so I'll join him on that. But the other glaring problem, and this is people of color, as Justin noted, the only people of color in this movie are in the service industry, except for the car, which, as we were talking about earlier, is arguably also in the service industry if you want to go the chauffeur route. The car is its own character and has a very, like, character black voice. I mean, it is voiced by a black man, so that's, you know, that's cool. But the choices they made did not make me super happy a lot of the time. And just generally, this doesn't really pass the Bechdel test for women or for people of color.
No.
No, not in the slightest.
So, yeah, that's basically... I don't even have more to say. I'm just disgusted.
Yeah. I could just chime in on that one, but I'm going to save number five for the Brenda problem. And this one, I was just going to talk about Matthew Broderick's lack of performance in this film. Maybe I should have done this sooner, but Matthew Broderick is just not Inspector Gadget. He's a decent robo gadget because he decides to chew the scenery and he chews the scenery well. But as regular Inspector Gadget, no, just no. I mean, his performance only comes alive in this entire film when he becomes Robo Gadget, and even then, sometimes they do stupid stuff like the Godzilla thing, which was just idiotic. But that's the only time he actually shows he actually gives a damn about this character.
So, who would you put in the Inspector Gadget role
instead of him?
Yeah, like who would your ideal Inspector Gadget be?
Jim Carrey.
Really?
In 1999, it would have been Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Yeah, 1999.
But you don't think that he would just be way too hammy and over the top and, like, make it all about being Jim Carrey and not being Inspector Gadget?
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Let me make sure I understand the parameters. Would it be the same script and movie? Or we're just changing actors? Or are we assuming the script would be good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just asking who you, like, would want to play. I'm imagining the cartoon, but brought to life. Like, who would you want to play Inspector Gadget? Because my choice would probably not be Matthew Broderick, that's for sure.
No, it would not have been Matthew Broderick. I definitely would not have picked Matthew Broderick. Nothing against Matthew Broderick. He is, at times, a very good actor.
Bueller's Day Off will live forever as a classic.
It will.
He's too young to be Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget is more middle-aged, not relatively... fresh face young.
Yeah, he's kind of middle-aged and dumpy, and I think one of my problems with Matthew Broderick is way too clean cut
and too young looking.
I'm trying to think now, because, like, I think Jim Carrey could have done it in 1999, but now we're thinking like an actual transplant, and I don't think Jim Carrey would be a good fit.
I feel like John Cusack might actually be able to do it.
John Cusack
No, John Cusack in the 90s, because that was when, what's it called, that Nick Hornby novel that they adapted to the record store? High Fidelity.
Right.
And that's High Fidelity area, John Cusack, and he could totally be Inspector Gadget, I think. He would be okay.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Well, because he could kind of look scruffy and unkempt and be kind of a bumbling loser whose niece solves everything and he has no idea.
I don't know if that's actually a compliment.
No. Like, no, it is a compliment. I feel like it is a compliment because I feel like John Cusack could probably be confident enough to go ahead and play that.
Hmm. Maybe.
Whereas, like, I don't know that Jim Carrey could do that. I think Jim Carrey would... You really need Inspector Gadget to not be too hammy.
Yeah.
You need him to be basically a straight man who's like, yes, I'll go ahead and save you.
Almost kind of like Brendan Fraser.
I don't think I could see Brendan Fraser as this, though.
You could scruff up, what's his name? I can't think of the actor's name. The guy who played Clark Kent, Superman, and Lois and Clark. Dean Cain. Yeah, you could do... I don't know if he could do the humor, though. Maybe. He did some humorous episodes in Lois and Clark. Clark and God, his star's fallen. He's gone to sci-fi movies, but yeah, he could do a bit better Inspector Gadget. There's a lot of people who do a lot better Inspector Gadget than poor Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Well, he just looks wrong and acts wrong.
He really isn't a good fit, that's for sure. I mean, it just
sits there like a wet noodle. I mean, he's too earnest. I mean, he's dumb, but he's just too earnest and just doesn't play it well.
What about Sean Penn?
He might be too scruffy.
Too scruffy?
Because this is the
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, maybe.
Well, look, it's either Tom Hanks or Daniel Day-Lewis, because no matter what you think of Daniel Day-Lewis, he would just become the character.
yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis can act in anything. So yeah, that's no bet on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Although he hasn't done much comedy. What comedy has Daniel Day-Lewis done?
I don't know. I can't think of any.
Julia, any thoughts?
I have no idea.
we've gone way far afield not to talk about this film.
What about Dustin Hoffman?
Daniel Day-Lewis is only in drama. Dustin Hoffman is too old.
Well, in the 90s
he might have been okay in 1999. Now he'd be too old.
Now he'd be definitely too old. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I was just looking at people and I was like, the only person I don't want it to be on is John Malkovich, who's creepy. Have you seen his spots for his new show, like Crossbones or whatever that is?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, they made fun of it on the Will Wheaton Project because, like, he's being asked basically, like, you know, why did you want to do this project? Because, you know, it's a TV project. He doesn't do TV projects very, like, I can't think of any time he's done them. And, like, he's sitting there going, like, it's got pirates and, like, the ocean's cool. And, like, he's not even there. Like he just maybe they just offered him a paycheck and he was like, I need to eat this week.
You know who could do it? Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Bill Murray could have been an Inspector Gadget.
He could have been a great Inspector Gadget.
That would have worked.
Damn it. You see why we should be in Hollywood?
Yeah, but you know, what studio is going to greenlight any of our good ideas? They just want to reboot Stargate and do other stuff.
Well, my studio will, the Sean Duke Studio of Awesome.
Sure, Sean.
So shall we actually like get back to this? Sorry, I totally derailed us.
Yeah, let's actually get back to the movie. Let's see. That was my fourth dislike. So your fourth dislike, Sean.
My fourth dislike. Oh my god, it was related to one of these. Oh frick! And I just forgot it again. Oh, I should have written these down.
I broke Torture Cinema again. Listeners, my apologies.
Oh no, it was related to yours, Paul. Now I remember. Okay, that's why I got all excited last time. Okay, it is that while I said I liked Matthew Broderick as bad Inspector Gadget, I pretty much just despise him as good Inspector Gadget. He's just not good. He's just not. It's just no fun. It's not fun to watch him. I just don't want him to talk. Ever.
I think we all agree. I think that's why we just spent 20 minutes talking about who we would rather have.
Yeah, no, I know we all agree. I just had to get it out there. So yeah, we can
move on. Is it time for the fifth like?
Fifth like. Let's go.
Julia.
My fifth like is that this movie reminded me that I actually liked the cartoon a lot and made me revisit the cartoon, which was much, much better. I did watch an episode of the cartoon directly after, and it was awesome. It was what I remembered it being. Penny was actually a protagonist. Brain had a lot to do, and it was much more engaging, and it didn't have too many sound effects that made me feel like my head was going to explode.
Yeah.
It had just enough.
Yeah, the cartoon's so good.
I'm just going to, since I've run out of things to like about this movie, I'm just going to piggyback on you, Julio. I mean, whenever I heard variations of the theme song in this movie, and they're not great, but I would think of the cartoon fondly, because it was keeping me from watching the horror that was unfolding on the screen. The first season of the cartoon was good. The other things not so much, but the first season was good. Why doesn't Brain have a two-way radio? And then he gets one in the end credits, but.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So there were all sorts of things. And honestly, the other thing about this is that the theme song is so earwormy that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, like basically after that, you sing it forever. So that led us to sing Inspector Monster to our cat, because we sing everything to our cat. And then we thought about our cat dressed up in a trench coat with gadgets, and that was adorable.
That is pretty darn cute. That is pretty darn cute. Yeah. So I think that's me then.
Yeah,
I have the last like. Did I put the helicopter as my like?
I put a helicopter as my like.
I don't remember what I did for my first like. That was your first, right? The helicopter head?
Yeah, that was my first, the helicopter head.
Okay. Well, I will just say that the car, other than the talking, was pretty cool. Although I would have liked to see the car get to do more stuff.
Yeah, like, I didn't even mind that the car talked. It just sometimes it was, yeah. But I liked that the car had agency.
Right, he has an attitude. And, like, he gets in the car, and the car's like, whoa, whoa, buddy, you can't be like me. You can't, you gotta, like...
The car was also, like, smart about catching people. Like, the car did the work for everybody else.
Right. And that's... And what's weird is almost like he took the role of Penny. Now that I think about it now.
And Brain, that's a good way of putting it, Sean.
That now makes me hate the car.
Yeah, that's very much the case. He took their role. But, like... If you read that the car is a person of color, then at least a person of color has agency in this movie.
And it's actually competent, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because he does catch criminals. Like, he's the one who actually catches Dr. Claw.
Yeah, but now I kind of don't like the car because it took away from Penny. Can I just say that Skittles.
Oh, God.
Because the car dispenses Skittles.
That was the worst pun ever, though. When he was like, let me just say I had the Skittles kicked out of me.
Yeah.
All I was thinking was, God, I want to eat those Skittles. Because there were so many Skittles. And I really wanted sugar.
So you really wanted to taste the rainbow?
Yes. I really did. Farfing
Nugan.
Farfing Nugan. Yeah. Oh, good times. Shall we go to our last dislike?
Sure.
Awesome.
Go for it, Julia.
Okay, this is the free-for-all where I get to complain about everything that doesn't make sense in this movie and how much I hate it.
Okay.
So, like, basically, and I know Paul is going to want to chime in on this part, so, like, the romance plot. What? Why is there a romance plot? And
oh, yeah.
It's terrible. Like, there's no reason for these people to like each other. At the beginning, Matthew Broderick is a creepy stalker, and
he clearly
does not like him. She's like, no, I'm not interested. Like, so many different ways. And he's just like, well, I thought I would just, like, walk you to your car. And she's like, I forgot my keys. And then, like, has to get him to stop physically blocking her from going back to her apartment to get them. Yeah. And then, like, he just is like, yeah, I'll patrol the parking lot and basically hang out by your car and wait for you to come back.
Yeah, that is completely creepy.
That
goes back to the whole tonal problem in this movie.
And it's super creepy, and, like, somehow we're supposed to want him to end up with her, even though, like, he's not only creepy, but also, like, totally incompetent, and she is super competent, and in the end, for some reason, she gets damseled and he gets to save her and they get together and he gets the girl, because this is a movie about a bumbling dude triumphing and getting a pretty girl for some reason, which is not ever what Inspector Gadget is about in any way. And then tie into that the origin story. Why did we have to have an origin story? It just made it much worse. Like, why did we have to have her not get consent to turn him into a thing? Like, is she evil? No, she's not evil, but what the hell? Like, even good people are doing terrible things. I don't understand. And then, like, the whole thing is just ridiculous. How does any of that work? And it doesn't make any sense. And the foot, what is up with the foot? So Dr. Claw steals a foot from Jolie Fisher's apartment after killing her father, takes it back to his place, and somehow has the exact same scientifical setup in his place that she does. So how did he build all of that equipment that was exactly the same equipment as hers? Like, because they have the same helmet and the same pods and, like, all the same things that are giant. But the thing that they had to steal was the foot?
Yeah.
I think they were trying to steal the chip thing. I think
then the other thing is that, like, she works out with her dad in the beginning that, like, the foot only works if you move it by using your heart to think about things that you love. And, like, yes. At this point, Moss just looks at me and is like, so this movie rolls glurgy then? And I was like, glurgy, yes. So, like, you think that that's actually going to play into it at all, but it doesn't. No, Dr. Claw is successfully able to use the foot to make an entirely new robot gadget that looks exactly like Matthew Broderick on his own.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require anyone's heart to operate it.
No, it requires the chip, but not the heart.
So, yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to make sense.
However, I will say, minor like and also dislike, was the point when at some point somebody was complaining about Inspector Gadget and was like, I don't know what kind of cyber freak you are. And I was like, cyber freak? This is the 90s when cyber things were new and exciting.
Cyber is the buzzword.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That has totally new implications today.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? And that actually gets to my fifth dislike.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Robo Brenda.
Yeah, see, that's why I was leaving Robo Brenda alone.
Oh, you're leaving Robo Brenda just for me. And I'm going to squick everybody by peeling apart and just laying bare what Robo Brenda really is.
Oh, that's so gross.
So Brenda gets this thing, and then we see Robo Brenda come out, and she's got the IQ of a pencil. She bounces around like a dumb, cheerleader bouncing around. She winds up falling off the ledge of a building at one point.
And survives.
And survives to the credits, but consider the implications of what Robo Brenda must be. First of all, we've already established that Dr. Claw is obsessed with Brenda and had that weird, creepy moment at the dance. So he makes a robot that looks exactly like Brenda but is less intelligent. So what I figured out, and much to my horror and dismay and squeakiness, that, well, Robo Brenda is clearly designed. I mean, she's not there to stop Brenda or to oppose her or do anything else. She's just there. She just shows up. Clearly, Dr. Claw has made, well, a sex doll.
Yeah, yes. I mean, she's basically the Buffy bot of Inspector Gadget, except that when Buffy did a Buffy bot, it was much better handled.
Yeah, this is basically a Buffy bot. I mean, Dr. Claw made a Brenda bot for sex. It's unfortunately is undeniable. There's no other way to explain what she's doing there. Why?
No, she's totally dumb and programmed to love Dr. Claw. That's like all she's there for.
Yeah.
Because, like, when the real Brenda shows up, she's like, oh, you're here. You must be Brenda. I'm the Brenda bot. Don't you love him? I love him. I'm programmed to. I'm also programmed to be a cheerleader. Ready? Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, yes. Yeah, so Dr. Claw created this. So Dr. Claw first makes Evil Inspector Gadget, and then he makes a sex bot.
Also, she specifically says that she's programmed to be just like Brenda, except like taller with bigger breasts or something.
Yeah. And as much as I like Julie Fisher, but as much as Julie Fisher is hot, when I saw Brenda Bot and realized what Brenda Bot was, yeah, part of
Brenda
me just...
Bot is not hot. Brenda Bot is super squicky.
Yeah, exactly. A part of me just died. Like, oh God. And like, yeah. So yeah, that's my fifth dislike. This Disney movie has a sex bot in it. There.
It's super creepy when you talk about it like that.
But it I'm is. Sorry. That's what it is. It's super creepy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. There's no way around it.
This movie's terrible.
This movie is terrible.
This movie destroys childhood.
It destroys childhoods, and it does things that are unnecessary, and makes our hearts hurt, so that we can't tap our feet.
So you get to do the last dislike, Sean.
I do get to do the last dislike. And
top Brenda Bot.
I can't top Brenda Bot because I think Brenda Bot's one of the worst things about this movie. How about it'll be a trifecta of things. This film is ageist. It is also whatever you would call like anti-fat. I don't know if there's a term for that. But
Fat shaming.
We'll talk about that in a minute. And it has some of the worst dialogue and worst delivery of any film we've watched. Even The Giver is better than this in terms of the dialogue. And I say that with a serious face, and I'm sure when Jen listens to this, she's going to throw something at me from California. But
although
that's okay.
I do feel that like at this point I should remember to bring up Birdemic.
Birdemic is bad. Yeah, that's true. It's not okay. Let me rephrase. Inspector Gadget.
How do I
worse.
Look, Sean?
Birdemic is so bad. And by the way, Julia, you look fine. I can't even do it with as much lack of emotion as he does. Like he hits a level of anti emotion. Like he sucks emotion out of the room. He's like an emotional black hole.
I really want us to watch A Talking Cat for Torture Cinema. I mean, A Talking Cat? Because I really want to know what you guys say about it. Like, I really want to have the Torture Cinema discussion about it.
Okay. Put it on the list.
It's on Netflix streaming, so it's free to watch.
You're asking us to watch something terrible for a reason other than Torture Cinema.
No, I'm saying we should watch it for Torture Cinema.
Okay, we could possibly do it. Maybe
no, it like totally fits within the Torture Cinema guidelines.
Okay, we can do it next month.
It's a fantastical movie that is terrible. And it has, if you want to talk about bad dialogue and bad delivery.
Yeah, okay. Make sure I put it on the list after the show's over.
Okay.
Okay. So, I should probably explain my points.
Yes.
Okay. So the ageist thing is really quick. There is one old lady in this, and I say that because she is coded as being like super old lady who works as a security guard, and pretty much the first real dialogue she gets is when the alarms go off because Claws shot the guy or killed him, and is like fleeing, in which she gets up and she says, "Oh my gosh, they're gonna like blame me for everything." I don't remember what her exact dialogue is because it was stupid. But it's basically like they're going to blame the old woman for the crimes. And I just, like, why? Why did we need that? That's not funny. Like, she's an old, like, she's, like, this tiny little, being played as though she's a frail little old lady. And so you're going to, like, making jokes at her expense? Like, maybe it, I don't know, it's just stupid. I didn't like that. I hated that moment. I will also say that I just hated the Claw's whole, like, you wouldn't remember me because I was a fat kid.
Yeah, what? That was
why
just...
Why? Yeah, would that matter?
No. Fat shaming, yeah.
That was just stupid and horrible. I will say for the old lady, she did get one line that was pretty good, which was when Matthew Broderick was like, what do I look like? And she's like, a kid from Kansas who became a security guard.
Oh, and they look at the camera after that.
Yep.
Yeah. She's so short. It's so sad.
Well, the other old person that's in this is Jolie Fisher's father, who
gets killed
in
this movie. Doesn't like old people.
No, doesn't.
At all. I mean, the only other maybe old person is the police chief, commissioner, police chief. He's the chief.
Quimby, right? Yeah.
Yeah, who's an older gentleman, but he's just played off as like just a jerk face who's kind of dumb. Because, like, of course, but whatever. But anyway, so there's that. And then there's the fat thing when she says this whole deal, like, you wouldn't remember me, Brenda, because I used to be fat. And now you remember me and I'm supposedly cute and we should go on a date or some stupidness. Whatever. That was the whole thing was just gross. And then, of course, when he makes the Brenda bot, it becomes even more gross because then you think, like, he's probably held this sort of obsession for years. And that's super creepy. And then lastly, it's just the dialogue, and mostly it's Rupert Everett's dialogue, but almost all the dialogue's terrible in this. But particularly when Rupert Everett is, like, trying to convince Brenda when they're in the helicopter, like, not to jump out with Inspector Gadget. And he's, like, it's the most excruciating dialogue. I think it's basically just him going, Brenda, please, baby, we can talk about this.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's terrible all the way through.
And it is terrible all the way through. He's got no good dialogue in this.
He actually does have, like, a couple of good lines. I can't remember what they are, but I remember them happening because I remember Moss and I looking at each other and being like, okay, that was actually not a bad joke.
I just don't remember.
But it's really, they're very few and far between. Basically, all the dialogue in this movie, except for the point when Penny is talking to Sykes, is terrible.
It is. Yeah, oh.
It's as if they got somebody else to write that scene.
They must have. They must have been like, we need another scene. And, like, they, like, looked at an intern. Like, this poor little intern was like, can I get you coffee? And they're like, no. Like, you just go write a scene, but, like, come back in, like, 35 seconds. And then that intern turned out to be, like, the greatest writer for TV ever.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Yeah, you're overextending yourself there, Sean.
Maybe not. That intern was Ron Moore. Rob Moore. Ron Moore. What's his name? Whatever, I'm drunk. Anyway, move on.
Oh.
So that's it. That's all I got. I just hate this movie.
That's it. I think we can grade this thing and go home.
We are home. You mean go away.
Same difference.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Same difference. Too much beer.
Oh, this movie's so bad. All right, Julia, let's get it on. No.
Oh, no, that's not what we're going to do. But I will give it a grade.
That was so not what I...
Yeah.
Oh, I've officially embarrassed myself. Like, as soon as it left my mouth, I was like, that was a mistake.
Sorry. I didn't even notice that is exactly what you said until you pointed it out. And then I was like, oh, God, that's terrible.
That's pretty not good. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What would you give for this movie?
Well, I would give it an F-, except for the part that with Penny talking to Sykes, Penny is actually pretty cool. And I think we all actually like that part. So I guess for that scene alone, I will elevate it to an F.
Fair enough. Paul?
I'm looking back over my old grades to try to figure out just how bad this movie fits in with everything else. Is it better than Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen? No. Is it better than Birdemic? Yes. So it's going to fall somewhere between an F and an F. Plus, but I can't give this a plus for anything, especially after talking about Brenda Bot. So I'm just going to give it an F and be done with it.
Fair enough. All right. And I'm going to concur. I'm going to give it an F as well, because it's probably not the worst movie we've watched, and mostly because it's only 78 minutes long.
And yeah, I mean, that's probably what made it slightly better. Also, like, because it's not made by Michael Bay, it wasn't as gratuitously sexist and racist as the Transformers movies.
It was just
I don't know that it was inadvertent, but it was not as blatant on camera.
if this had been a Michael Bay production, Michelle Trachtenberg would have been whatever. Damn it, I can't say her name. I can't say it. Would have been replaced by someone over the age of 18 who would not wear most of their clothes and would have
pretty much,
no real lines.
And the first time we see her, it'd be an upskirt shot. Yeah, that's pretty much. That's what would happen in a Michael Bay version of this.
And when you think about the fact that this is a children's show, that is just horrifying.
See, we've managed to make the thought of this even worse.
I know. You could make this.
Yeah, I guess that's progress somehow.
Well, yeah, because if it had been a Michael Bay version.
Well, that's why this gets an F and not an F minus.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. It's better than a Michael Bay film. That should be its blurb on the DVD case.
I think the Transformers films might have more interesting plots, though.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
I gave the original Transformers a
I think most of us,
and the second one in F plus. So there you go.
Yeah, I think a lot of us liked the first one, sorta, and then the second one happened, and then we all sort of quit life.
I didn't like either of them.
You hated both of them.
I hated both of them, and I'm never watching another one.
I can respect that choice. I have no desire to see this new one with Marky Mark.
With Marky Mark, yeah. I have no desire either. I'm not going to see it at theater, but we're going to have to watch it for Torture Cinema one day. Except Julia. She will not.
Yeah, and I respect that, Julia.
Yeah. So, on that note, our average is an F, because we all gave it Fs, so I don't have to do math. Excellent.
No math.
Cool. Well, on that note, if you have seen this movie, you want to leave comments and let us know what you think about the movie, you can obviously go to skiffingfanny.com and do that. Just look for this post. Otherwise, thank you, Julia and Paul, for doing this with me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I paid $3 and lost 80 minutes of my life.
Right, because we had to pay for this movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you pay for this movie.
Amazon streaming, yeah.
Yep. That's what we did. We rented it on Amazon and spent $3. I spent $3 of my discretionary income on Inspector Gadget. This is, like, so terrible.
I know. It feels like I'm in one of Max Gladstone's novels, and a part of my, I had to pay a little bit of my soul.
Exactly.
Like, awesome.
How much of your soul? Enough that it hurts.
Literary reference for everybody. That's great. You should all read Max Gladstone's books.
You should.
Yeah.
You know, he has the same birthday as me.
It was just the other day. That's right.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, May 28th, and that's my birthday, too.
Well, in case Max is listening to this, that just made you even more cool. Max, not you. You're already cool. I'm saying, like, by dint of sharing your birthday, he becomes cooler.
I thought it made me more cool, too, because I share my birthday with Max Gladstone. That's awesome.
Yeah, but you're already more cool. So, like, technically, it elevates him slightly.
Elevates him towards your heights, Julia.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know. He's pretty cool.
He is pretty cool. You're both cool. How about you both just, like, up your own cool? You, like, both get exponentially cooler together. You're, like an irradiated beast, but, like, human. This is not helping.
I don't know that I like where this is going. I think we should stop now.
Good night, listeners. Thank you for listening this far. Hope you have fortitude.
Hey, everybody.
And on that note, awkward ending and scene. If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google Plus.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.